One other request that I should have made before our prayer time, but we can take this with us and pray throughout this week. Brother Leo is having, this next week is having a missions meeting there in Quebec. And this would be their second year for missions. And he's got three different missionaries coming in to be with them. Those are all of them working either in Canada or in the northeast of the states. And it's very, very needy place. It doesn't matter which side of the border you're on. It's really a needy place for the gospel. And so they're having their mission meeting this coming week, starting, I think, Sunday. And they're having Brent Rochester family. That's another one of the Rochester children that have gone out and has their own group. This is the oldest boy. I don't think I've ever met him. Sunday, Brady was, and his family was with Dustin. And then, of course, we have the Rochesters coming with us here in October. And so they're singing everywhere. And I think they had a reunion not too long ago, that the first time they'd been together, all of them together to sing, in about 40 years. And I think they had about 60 or 70 people there, all of them, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Brother and Miss Rochester. And so they had a great time, I'm sure. And so you pray for Brother Leo's services. It's very, very needy in that area. And certainly it's something different to those folks. They've never seen too much or heard anything about missions, much less very little about the gospel. And so pray for them. And then also there is some things politically coming up in Canada that's going to be, if it takes place, it's going to be very difficult on a lot of missionaries that are in Canada. They are trying to make it illegal to be to be able to homeschool your children. And of course, Brother Leo does that, and most of the missionaries do that as a homeschool. And so it's very troubling to all of them. He wanted us to pray for those two areas and their ministry. And so do remember that. I think he said the election was coming up in October, and then they would find out how it goes. And so just pray for the Lord to have His will, His way, and to move upon the hearts of people. And I'm glad to know that our God can move on the hearts of people that don't even know Him, and to make things right. If the Lord in the Old Testament can say, my servant Nebuchadnezzar, then He certainly can deal with anybody. And the only reason Nebuchadnezzar was called His servant was because God moved on his heart to do what He wanted him to do, and Nebuchadnezzar didn't even realize it at that moment. And so the Lord can move in the hearts of people that don't even know Him to accomplish His will and His work. So make that a matter of prayer, and I know they will appreciate that. All right, tonight, take your scriptures and open them to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. And we that are familiar with the scripture realize and know and that Matthew 28, these first verses are relating and giving to us the story of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And despite what some people may think, we can preach on the resurrection other than on Easter. It's a message that needs to be proclaimed, needs to be given continually, because it is the foundational truth of our faith that we have in Jesus Christ. If there is no resurrection, then we have nothing. And so tonight I want to read a few verses, and then we'll turn over to 1 Corinthians also in chapter number 15. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you to Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Just reading that, I noticed there it says they had had fear with great joy. Usually you don't associate fear and joy together. But their fear was a reverential fear, and their joy was knowing that the Lord was no longer in the tomb. He was no longer in the sepulchre. And those that were keepers of the tomb and of the garden, the scripture says they were as dead men. When the earthquake and the stone rolled away and the voice of the angel began to speak, they were as dead men. And so very powerful message concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I want us to read verse 17 through 20. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 20. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. Here we find the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, tells us the importance of the resurrection. We read the account of it in the Gospels we read tonight, the Gospel of Matthew's account. But when you come to Paul teaching to the Corinthian people, he tells them, he says, if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. And I dare say that's the same thing for you and I tonight. If there is no resurrection, our faith is empty. Our faith is void. Our faith is vain. If there's no resurrection of the Lord, then we have nothing. And you'll notice the words here that Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. Well, that sounds pretty good. But he says, if that's all you have, a hope in Christ, he lived, he died, then we're of all men most miserable. But thank God the misery is gone because he arose. The misery of life is gone because Jesus Christ is alive. He has raised from the dead. So therefore, our faith is not in vain. Our faith certainly is full, and we are active in the things of the Lord. And he tells us here that Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And so I want us to think tonight, not just about his resurrection, but think about our resurrection. One of these days, if the Lord does not come in our lifetime, if we die, somebody will put us in a casket, and someone will have the message over us, and they'll take us to the cemetery, and they'll put us in the ground like everybody else that we have followed to the cemetery all these years. And so if he doesn't come, then we're going to die. But we are full of the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because he came forth victorious, thank God we shall also. We shall be raised in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the scripture says. And I believe every day of our life, we should remember every Lord's Day, we should celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Every Lord's Day is a commemoration. It's a remembrance of what Christ did. He arose the first day of the week. He came forth victorious. As we read the scripture tonight, it says, as it began to dawn a new day, or began to dawn the first day of the week, they were there, the stone rolled away, and Jesus was not to be found. And the angel that was there gave some strong statements, gave some very important statements. He told those women that had come there to anoint the body of the Lord. They came there for a purpose, and the angel that was sitting there on the stone, he said, "You go quickly and tell his disciples that he's not here. He is risen." He said, "I know who you're seeking. I know who you're looking for, but Jesus is not here." And you and I tonight, when we think about that verse, we ought to just say, "Thank God." We ought to just say, "Praise the Lord, he was not there." As we hear people talk about today, the death of religious leaders, and they have travels to where the leader is buried, and all those things that we hear about. Thank the Lord tonight, our Savior is not anywhere to be found upon this earth. He has gone up into heaven, and he has gone away from this earth. And the disciples saw him there in Acts chapter 1. And as he was speaking to them and giving them instruction concerning going into all the world and to preach that gospel, gravity began to lose hold on him, and he ascended into the clouds. He ascended into to heaven. And the angel said to those disciples, "He's coming back just like you saw him. As you've seen him go, he's coming again the same way. He left bodily. Thank God he's coming back bodily. He left physically. He's coming back physically." He said, "Don't gaze here in the sky. You've got a job to do now. You've got a task to perform." And that was to preach the gospel. And of course, we know the gospel. We very clearly understand what Paul gives us, a simple definition of the gospel. It is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the burial of the Lord. And it is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It is therefore the blessed hope of the Christian that we look forward to one day he coming for us, that one day we shall rise also. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so we're waiting. Those that we have gone to the cemetery and we have followed the casket, we have followed with broken hearts and tears. We have that hope in our life that one day that body will not have to stay there. Going to be raised in newness of life. Going to be raised just like the Lord Jesus Christ, and going to their eternal home physically now in heaven. And so the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord. It's only through the finished work of Calvary that we have the acceptance and the rejection, or the rejection of our sin, and us being accepted in the Beloved. And in that we find eternal life, everlasting life, the hope of heaven. I'm glad tonight that we have the scriptures that we can be sure that we know we're going to heaven. Now, we don't have to wonder about it. It's a shame for people to have to say, "I hope I'm going." It's a shame for people to say, "Well, I'm trying my best to get there." It's a shame for people to say, "Well, I'm doing all that I've ever been told to do to go to heaven." And whatever the religious group has told them, they've tried to carry that out to the minutest of detail, but skip over the simple plan of God's salvation to believe upon the Lord and thou shalt be saved. I don't believe we ought to preach doubt, but I believe we ought to preach assurance. I believe we ought to preach that if we're saved, know we're saved, then we can have a hope that one day we're going to be with him. We sang the old song. And maybe not as old as some of the others that we sing, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." He is there to help us. It says, "I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone." And that's the capstone of our Christianity, is that because he lives. Because he's alive tonight. And thank God, because he's alive, we have a promised glorious resurrection. There is life beyond this life. There are people that try to look into the past of lives of people. There are those that try to, through the darkness of this world, try to raise up and conjure up the dead and the spirits of the dead. And those things, I'm glad tonight I don't have to do all that. I have the living Word of God that tells me my future and tells me what that I have. And so there's life beyond tonight. There's life beyond this life. and that life is eternal with the Lord if we follow Him. This life or this hope gives us hope to the hopeless. There are people out there tonight that have no hope at all. There are folks outside these doors. There's folks, if you used to go down some of the streets of Madisonville, Kentucky, you'll find people everywhere that have no hope at all. They have no assurance of tomorrow. They have no assurance of life. They have no assurance of anything beyond what they have right now. And they're living in sorrow and regret. And I'm glad the resurrection of the Lord can give them hope, can give them life eternal. It gives encouragement to those that are discouraged. It's amazing how many people tonight are discouraged. Their life maybe is not what they wanted it to be. It wasn't what they thought it would be. It wasn't what they desired it to be. And they're discouraged with everything that takes place. Well, I'm glad the gospel tonight gives encouragement even in the place of discouragement. It gives light and life to those that are spiritually blinded and spiritually dead. Those are blind and they cannot see, the scripture says. Spiritually, they have no way of seeing because spiritually they're dead in their sins. And they have no hope past the moment of that last breath they took, hoping that another breath, hoping that another day. But they really have no hope of tomorrow because they do not know our Lord. And we find that the gospel and the knowledge of the resurrection gives joy to those that are bereaved, to peace to those that are troubled, and gives comfort to those that are sick. It gives courage to those that are oppressed. It gives strength to the weak and the weary. It gives victory to the defeated. And thank God it gives an expectancy to you and I that are looking for Him to come. And tonight He's coming because one day He arose from the grave. One day soon, I believe we can realize and experience that Jesus has come again. One day soon, I believe we'll hear the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel. I believe we'll hear the words spoken from that archangel, come up hither, and we'll be with Him immediately, and as Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye. Just in what we'd call the batting of the eye or the twinkle of the eye, we're going to leave this world and we're going to be in that world, and it's all because of His resurrection. Look forward to the day that we can be with Him. Romans chapter 6 verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, then shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, we're going to rise again. I'm glad the cemetery is not the last stopping place. I'm glad that's not the end of everything. I'm glad that's not the end of who we are. God breathed into man, He became a living soul, He never dies. Now this physical body may die, and this physical body will die. Our brain sensations will be over, our heart will stop, our lungs will cease to operate, our bodily functions will no longer be, we'll be dead. But it still will be alive. And alive through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, we shall be raised. John 14:19 says, yet little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. These are promises that Jesus made. These are promises that the Lord gave to His disciples. He says, because you see me alive, one day you shall live also. And so I just want to think four or five things tonight about because of the resurrection. Because of His resurrection, what we have, a hope as a believer. Because of the resurrection, there will be a glorious appearing. I touched on that just a moment ago. He's coming again. And it's going to be a glorious time for the believer. It's going to be a great time for the child of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, a very familiar verse, is looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here the scripture says that He's going to have a glorious appearing. I believe one day we'll, not only will we hear, but I believe we'll see and we'll immediately be in the presence of the Lord. And what a glorious thing that will be. It'll be a glorious resurrection for those that are dead. It'll be a glorious transformation for those of us that are alive. One of these days, those that have been put in the cemetery plot, they'll be raised in newness of life with a new body. And they'll go up through the air and they'll be shouting, "Grave, where's your victory now? It has no hold on us. We have no, chains upon us, because we're going to see the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ as a glorious body." The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 21 says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?" So not only is it going to be a glorious appearing, but in that appearing, our bodies are going to be just like his glorious body. The disciples looked upon him, and when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw the glory of the Lord. And so he's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able. Thank God he is able. He's able to do everything he so chooses to do, and he's going to be able to subdue those things unto himself. And so we have the resurrection, and that means there's going to be a glorious return. There's going to be a glorious time of his coming again. The Bible says every eye shall see him. Now, we understand that when we talk about the second coming, sometimes we get things in the wrong order. Really, the second coming is when the Lord comes, when he comes to reveal himself to this world. After the tribulation, he's going to come and every eye is going to behold him. That is the second coming. Many times we talk about the rapture as the second coming. No, the rapture is the rapture. It's the first phase of that coming, and it's the getting the child of God out of this world so God can judge this world, so the wrath of God can fall upon ungodly mankind, because the scripture says believers are not appointed to the wrath of God. So we're going to be removed. We're going to be taken out of here. We'll be gathered unto him. Whatever terminology you want to use, we use the word rapture, to be caught up and be caught out. And we're going to be removed, and God's wrath is going to be poured out upon this earth. And the book of the Revelation gives us that in minute detail. And so there's a glorious appearing of our Lord because of the glorious resurrection. If Jesus had not arose from the dead, we have nothing. Nothing. If Jesus is still in the tomb tonight, we're wasting our time. If Jesus is still in the tomb, then we certainly don't need to be here. We could go live like the world, because that's all there is. But thank God we know he's alive. Thank God we know he is risen from the dead. He is not there. The angels told the women, said, "Go tell the disciples he's not here. He's alive. He's risen from the dead." And because of that wonderful resurrection, we have a glorious return of our Lord and a glorious resurrection of the child of God. And in doing that, we have a glorious reunion one day with those that have gone on before us. I think one of the most comforting things that can ever take place in our heart as a believer, when we go to the cemetery behind our moms and our dads and those, our grandparents, when we go behind the crowd of our friends, our loved ones, the wonderful thing is for the child of God is that we know one day what a glad reunion day that will be. What a wonderful time that will be to once again see our loved ones. Oh, they're out of our sight at this moment. They're not out of our mind. Those very few days go by that you don't think about those that were close to you. Very few times, very few days go by that you don't think about maybe your mom or your dad, your brother, your sister, your loved one. Those things are very close to us. It's a part of our life. I'm glad tonight to be able to proclaim that one day we'll be reunited. One day we'll be together once again, not just with the Lord, but with our loved ones, with our friends. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One of these days, thank God, one of these days, praise the Lord, we'll be able to go up to be with them. And I think the scripture teaches us that we'll be known as we are known. Don't ever get in your mind, in your thoughts, that we're going to be floating around like a bunch of little angels. That's not what happens in heaven. Heaven, we have a new body. Heaven, we have a new city. Heaven, we have a new life. Heaven, everything is as God wanted it to be in the very beginning. When God created heaven and earth, God set everything in motion to be paradise upon earth. But man sinned and turned against God, rebelled against the Lord, and judgment came and the wrath of God. And now we have, down through the years, we've just got farther and farther and farther away from God. But won't it be a wonderful time when you see the Lord and when you see the loved ones that have gone on? And so because of His resurrection, there's going to be a reunion. Because of His resurrection, I'm going to rise and I'm going to meet those that I knew. But praise the Lord, I'm going to meet a whole lot more than I didn't know. And we'll be able to have acquaintance and live forever and forever in the peace and tranquility of the peace of God. This world wants a utopia. This world wants everything perfect. They'll never have it because they don't know how to get it. They'll never have it because it's not available except in eternity through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrected Lord that we have. So because of the resurrection, I have a glorious appearing of the Lord. I have a glorious reunion. Number three, because of the resurrection, there's going to be a wonderful joy. Praise the Lord. Joy floods our soul. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You know when His glory is going to be revealed to us? When we get to heaven. When we stand before Him, when we stand before God, and then we'll understand the exceeding joy. We'll understand the glory of the Lord. Wonderful study in the scriptures to study that word and study what it says about the glory of God, or the glory of the Lord, or the presence of God that brings about glory. And so the resurrection is going to give us not only a reunion, but there's going to be joy in heaven. There's going to be peace, and there's going to be happiness. No more tears, no more sadness, no more sorrows. John says in Revelation, those are the former things. That's what we have right now. Aren't you glad there's more before us than what we have right now? Now, this whole world is a terrible, terrible mess. Our country is in a terrible mess. Aren't you glad that's not the best of the worlds? Aren't you glad there's a better day coming? Aren't you glad there's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory for the child of God? Little book of Jude, right before Revelation, says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. And then it says, with exceeding joy. I believe we'll stand before the Lord joyful, thankful, rejoicing. Number one, I'm in His presence in heaven, not in hell. Thankful for the salvation that He gives to us. He has died that we might have not only the forgiveness of sins, but all the good things that go with salvation. And so there is a resurrection, and that resurrection will bring a wonderful, glorious joy, and the joy that never, never fades away. Today, I wonder how many of us have smiled. I wonder how many of us have had what we call real joy. There may be moments of refreshing, maybe moments, But for the most part, our lives are not filled with a lot of happiness. For the most part, there's sadness, and for the most part, there's difficulties around the corner. And we sometimes are stressed over those things that come before us. When we get to heaven, wonderful joy. The wonderful peace that passes all the understanding that man might have. And because of the resurrection, I have that joy. And then there's going to be a presentation, a glorious presentation. Ephesians 5:27. Paul writes to the Ephesian church talking of Christ that he might present it to himself a glorious church. One of these days, the Lord's going to present his church to himself. He said, I bought her, I purchased her, she's mine, and he's going to present a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Well, now, that's not any church I know of down here. Every church has some spots. Every church has some wrinkles. Every church has some problems. But when we get to heaven, all those things are in the past. And because he arose from the grave one day, he did that to purchase his bride, the bride of Christ. He did that that he might present it one day to himself as a perfect example, as perfect in every way, no wrinkle, no spot, or any, and Paul goes on and says, or any such thing, anything that would deface, or anything that would defame, anything that would tear down the joy and the beauty of his people and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing is going to be there. It says, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so there's going to be a presentation. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be presented unto himself as his bride. And the Bible calls the nation of Israel. God calls Israel the wife of Christ, the wife of God. And the Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. That relationship that's never broken, never severed. But because he arose in the day, he's going to have that. Because he arose, he's going to have his bride set before him and in the very presence of everything and everyone that is there. Now, not everybody, not everybody is in the bride. Not everybody is that spectacle. Not everyone is that one that is chosen to that point. But he's going to present his bride to himself without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing. And so thank God tonight there is a presentation of the church. And then lastly, because Jesus arose from the dead, there is a glorious home. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now if the scripture or the Bible or the book that you use has many mansions, well, you can go second rate, or has many rooms. You can go second rate if you want to. I'm looking for my mansion. I'm looking for what the Lord's prepared for me, and he's preparing the best. He's preparing the best that could ever be. He didn't go prepare me a room. He went to prepare me a mansion in the house of God. And so he's going to give us and present to us a glorious home. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. If the Lord didn't do that, if he wasn't going to do this, he would have told us that. But he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if you look at the Jewish marriage, the husband that was betrothed to a wife would always go and prepare a place for his bride. And he'd come back and get her and take her there. You know what? The Lord is at his place now. He's preparing my place. He's preparing your place. And one of these days, he's going to appear. And he's going to come and take us to his place, that we shall be with him forever and forever. He says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He said, I've gone to do that for my bride. And just be sure I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The greatest day in the life of the believer is when he got saved. The greatest day in the life of the believer is when he sees Christ. And he will only see Christ because he trusted him by faith. He'll only look upon the Lord because he trusted him by faith. The faith of God that we trust him. This is a wicked, troubled world that we live in. If you don't know that, you haven't turned on TV or radio here lately. Read the newspaper. Troubled, wicked world. If you don't know that, you haven't been down to Walmart lately. You can hear some of the most ungodly things at Walmart. You can see some of the most ungodly deeds at Walmart or anywhere else because people are ungodly. And I'm glad to thank the Lord one day because of his resurrection, I'm going to be taken out of that. And if we think this is bad, wait until the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is removed and literally everything just goes according to the wicked one. The only thing holding it back right now is the Spirit of God. And you know where the Spirit of God is? It's in the believer. He's in every believer. And so we are the restraining force in this world. The devil can only do what God permits him to do. And the Holy Spirit is the restrainer, always has been. And when we as the people of God, when we're taken out of this world, the restrainer is removed. The comforter is gone. And literally, I'm not saying it in the wrong way, literally, it will be hell upon earth. Because the forces of the wicked will be leashed upon an ungodly, unregenerated world that hates the Son of God, hates the God of heaven, hates his word, and the Lord's going to judge them. So thank God, he says, he that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And old John sitting there on the Isle of Patmos, he said, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Because he came and died and rose again, one of these days he's coming, and all these things will be presented to you and I as a believer. We have a wonderful future. Future looks sort of bleak in this world, but my future is good in Christ. You may say, I don't know where the next, how I'm going to take care of the next problem, how I'm going to take care of this and that. Well, I'm glad, thank God, the Lord can know how to help us and know how to deal with that. And he is a wonderful Savior, and he supplies our need. And one of these days he'll come, and we'll never have any more need in this world. No more need for sweet hour prayer. No more need for prayer requests. No more need for praying for somebody or praying for yourself. Thank God we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that one that gives us a glorious resurrection. Let's stand together.